At first glance, there isn't much in Dale Dorsett's lab beyond the usual. You know, grad students in white lab coats, centrifuges, test tubes. Even though his lab's relatively small, his costs aren't. He takes me toward a locked room in the back of the lab containing a single microscope.
It's a laser scanning confocal microscope, which is essential for part of our work. That costs $350,000. Now you know why we keep it locked.
Dale's a molecular biologist at St. Louis University. He studies a genetic disorder that affects about 1 in 10,000 humans. Well, that is, when he can. These days, Dorsett says he spends more time filling out grant applications than he does on his research. And he's not the only one in this pickle. Winning grants for research is much harder than it used to be.
The problem becomes when it gets so competitive that even really deserving projects or very productive scientists who are doing really good work cannot get funded. And that's the situation we're in now.
Funding from organizations like the National Institutes of Health and the National Science Foundation has been slipping for years. It's a big problem. It used to be about 30% of all grant applications were successful. Now that success rate has slipped into the teens. And even those researchers who do get funding say grant preference is often given to projects that produce immediate results, which just isn't the way most science works.
I'm conservative because otherwise the lab would go under.
Kristen Krull runs a lab studying stem cells at Washington University.
I would love to be more aggressive about what we go after, which connections we try to make to other models. You know, yeah, I think I've curbed what we could be doing to a point where what we are doing is sustainable in the current funding climate.
Krull says there's such a backlog of quality grant applications on file at the NIH and NSF, grant reviewers aren't even separating wheat from chaff anymore. They're separating wheat from wheat. So a lot of good research just doesn't happen. And in a world economy, the U.S. isn't the only player in the market for innovation. Other countries could gain an advantage in science. James McCarter is the chief scientist for Divergence, a St. Louis-based biotech company.
It's a much more competitive playing field now. The emergence of India and China, in addition to Japan and Korea and Europe, there are sizable countries out there now that are serious in these spaces and are making serious investments and have the talent.
So you might be thinking, won't that big stimulus package send a wave of cash into the coffers of government research agencies? Problem solved, right? Not so much. While $1 billion shot in the arm might be welcome news for some labs, many advisors worry that the long-term effect might actually exacerbate the funding crisis. John Russell's the Associate Dean of Graduate Studies at Washington University. He says a big pile of cash all at once does nothing for ongoing research that can take years to complete.
One of the concerns about a big bubble is that if it's just a bubble, it takes 5 years to train somebody, so it needs to be more spread out, I think, to be more effective.
Russell warns universities considering a building and spending spree to plan carefully so current projects don't reach beyond future budget realities. For the Environment Report, I'm Adam Allington.